Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you're hanging out with us again today, listening from wherever on the planet you happen to be. We have a real treat for you. We're going to sit down here for a few minutes with the director of the Iowa Economic Development Authority. Her name is Debbie Durham. She's been in that post a long time, and I've followed her career. Not very long ago, we were at a dinner together here in the greater Des Moines metro, and it's always a pleasure to see her wherever I'm at. And we have just concluded a meeting of the Iowans for Israel. This is a bipartisan organization that looks toward better relationships, positive relationships, economic relationships between the state of Israel and the state of Iowa. And Debbie, welcome to the Business News Hour. Gratefully that you're here.
Oh, it's so glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
You had, this was a really high-level conversation that we were talking about with regard to bringing businesses from Israel, some startups and some legacy companies,
correct,
to take a look at what Iowa has to offer. What does Iowa have to offer to not only Israeli companies, but companies across the planet?
Well, I think we actually start with the story of who Iowa is. So when you think of Iowa, that innovation really is part of our DNA, regardless of the sector, whether you think of it in agriculture or machinery and, you know, manufacturing or the bioeconomy. So we began to, first of all, we always start with the very first slide. Michael, we start with where is Iowa, right? Let's start there. So we show them a map.
Do you have potatoes in Iowa?
We do, yes. So that's what that's the very first slide I always start with an international audience.
Right.
Here is Iowa. We're in the center of the country, and you can reach all these markets within, you know, a day's drive. And so we start with that. So we kind of situate them to where we are. And then we talk about who we are, right? That we are, you know, if you think of Iowa in traded clusters, we're manufacturing, we're bio, we're insurance and finance. Of course, you know, the foundation of so much of this is the agricultural. But then again, we have this innovation thread that what weaves within these verticals, it's constantly creating new opportunities and wealth. And then we talk about our competitive environment. I mean, in recent years, the legislature has continued to make us more competitive. And when you think of us getting to a 5.5% flat corporate tax rate, single factor by the year 2026, that's competitive. When you think about our accessibility in Iowa, and then like I talked about today, Iowa's strongest calling card right now is our renewable energy. You know, all these companies need to meet these very, very aggressive carbon neutral goals by 2030 to 2050. And one way to do that is they need to partner with a state that's well down that path. And Iowa is down that path with our investment in renewable energy. 64% of our portfolio right now on energy is renewable.
And that's one of the reasons so many of the high tech companies that are based here
on the data coast centers.
Come here, because we don't have earthquakes and we have relatively inexpensive electricity.
We do. It's reliable. It's still one of the most affordable in the country. And again, it's 64%. You've got one of the investor-owned, Mid-American, that's made a goal to get to 100% by the year 2030. And this is not smoke and mirrors. I go to all these conferences and I see everybody talking their clean energy portfolio. No one can touch us because this is not something we woke up to yesterday. This is something that we've been on this journey for decades. And again, you know, today at the meeting, we had Ambassador Branstad here, and of course, I give him a lot of credit for starting all of that back in his earlier 10 years at Gardiner, you know, his first grow around when he started the whole wind energy. And of course, previous governors, it's a bipartisan embraced initiative, but it is a calling card for Iowa. It really does separate us.
Let's talk a little bit about a company that you raised the name of. And this is about, and I had not heard of this before, this milk replacement.
Yeah, so, you know, so many people have, and I learned this, you know, I'm seeing this firsthand. I'm a grandmother now of four boys. And
thank you.
And yes, I know. I keep saying, you know, we need to repopulate Iowa. So my family's taking me serious. Of course, you know, you're seeing more and more children that have these food allergies to milk. And, of course, we embrace the milk, the dairy industry in Iowa and all ag. But there are some people that just can't tolerate it. And And so there is a company in Israel that does plant-based formula. Now, they're still going through FDA approvals and all of that. They're already doing some contracting here, you know. So they can still sell from, you know, 12 months and older and more of that nutraceutical space. But that was a great company that wants to, that's already already experienced Iowa and wants to grow here. And then we talked to some, you know, a major chemical company over there. There's other legacy companies we called on. But most of the time we really spent on the startup scene that's going on, because I've never, I think I said that, you know, this is my second visit to Israel, and there, the level of innovation in every aspect of life, it is just, it's fast-paced, it's creative, it's intense, I have to tell you. The sense of urgency.
The people of Israel are intense.
They are, and they, well, of course, I guess when you look at the history, right. but they have this sense of urgency, and really, it was just, we had an ag tech meeting, and I think we had 90 people in the room, from venture capitalists all the way to these small companies, at all different levels of, you know, their life cycle. So it was, it's always energizing to be there in that country. In fact, you know, again, I've gone twice now, and I will go back for sure.
And one of the other surprising things is, you know, they have mandatory service in the IDF. Mm-hmm. And so before you even go to college, you spend 2 years in the military. And that graduates a really mature group of young people, yes?
Yeah, you're exactly right. The maturity level and what they've accomplished in their short lifetime. So by the time we're doing it and they're launching, and some have even launching more than one companies that we met with, right? And they're very young. Again, it's, you know, if I encourage, you know, your listeners, if they've not gone, they need to go. I've had the opportunity in this position to travel the world, and I've seen some wonderful places. Israel is one of my favorites.
And that's only one country. So there are other countries out there that Iowa reaches out to.
Oh, absolutely.
To
on
say,
this trip,
hey.
Yeah, this trip we were in Kosovo and Italy prior to getting to Israel, right? So, of course, we have a European office, and so, and we've always had a really global footprint, not only from just trade, but for direct foreign investment. We see a lot of lead activity coming in from Europe right now. And we're also looking at developing new countries. I mean, so, you know, we were early into places like Vietnam, right? For instance, you know, seeing the possibility of what could happen there. You know, we've been to India. You know, India is a big market, you know, but there's huge opportunities there for us.
Well, when the president of India was here in the United States, his opening remarks to Congress was, we are a young and aggressive nation.
Correct.
Yeah. And many people don't understand the technology that comes out of India, for example.
Yeah, when you look
fascinating.
At the age, well, even Kosovo has the most interesting history. I mean, when you look at just the demographic of Kosovo, it's educated young people and, you know, very young. And you know, we need to figure out, certainly we have the relationship with them with our military and our guard unit, but beyond that, opportunities where we can partner with them on the economic side as well.
Debbie Durham is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She is the director of the Iowa Economic Development Organization here that does yeoman's work all over the state of Iowa. One of the things that, coming back to domestic issues, one of the things that we always seem to struggle with is workforce.
Yes.
I mean, I talk to businesses not only here in Iowa, but all across the United States and other countries. Everybody is feeling the workforce pinch right now. And you know, there's all kinds of thoughts out there that say, well, how do we fix this? Because we really do need to fix this. Some are talking about increased immigration, being watchful with regard to what types of folks that we bring in that have these strengths. There have been other talking heads out there that say, well, those people are coming to take your jobs, and we know that's not true. So what, through the authority, how do you tend to grapple with this? Because I know you're getting asked this all the time.
So when I'm asked, you know, what is Iowa's greatest challenge? And this, my answer was the same today as it was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
We have a population problem,
yeah.
right? And we need to grow Iowa's population, not really unlike many Midwestern states. And first of all, you have to be intentional about it, and you have to take a comprehensive long view, right? So again, of course, we need to birth more children, as I talked about my grandchildren. So there's been a lot of things the governor and the legislature has done. So if you just look at some numbers, pre-COVID, we had one of the highest labor participation rates in the country, second
True.
Highest. I think it was like 70.3-4. We're down to, we got down to 65, close to 65 at COVID. We're inching our way back up. We're in the 68, which is still higher than most states I compete with on projects. But we still have people sitting on the sidelines. And so what happened? You had retirees exit in mass numbers because in Iowa they work past retirement. You have mothers leaving the workforce, but you think at 33% of our daycares closed in the last 5 years, and we were doing online education and child, so of course,
right.
most of that usually falls to the woman. And people said they could live on single income because we have one of the highest dual income earners in a household in Iowa. But again, there was a tremendous amount of subsidy flowing to keep people from not working. I will say that. And there was a need for a period of time, but it went on too long. So what the governor has done is a lot of good things. One is she wants a work readiness program, a work-based learning experience for every student, connecting them to their backyard. So internships, apprenticeships. We have some of the highest apprenticeship numbers in the country. Not everyone needs to go to a four-year college.
I was going to bring that up,
yes. That's right. And it's
yeah.
not the value proposition it is for every career path, right? It is not. And I think parents are finally realizing that, too. And so that's a difference. So we're doing all this on workforce. Workforce is completely revamped. They created this new business engagement division to where when someone comes in for benefits like unemployment, they're assigned a caseworker from day one who really begins to identify what is your barriers to work. Is it transportation? Is it childcare? Is it maybe you absolutely hate what you want to do and you want to be a chef? And so they have all the services now to where they can go, you know, they can help that individual do something that is meaningful for them, but that get them back to work. But then at the next thing we're doing is we're actually promoting the state of Iowa, right? So we did some tremendous research. Everything we do at IEDA is research-based. We did a national research project and asked during COVID, did COVID change the way you look at the place you call home? And would you consider moving? 7 out of 10 said yes. The highest demographic.
Really?
7 out of 10. The highest demographics was 30-year-olds, followed by 40-year-olds and 20-year-olds. So then
that
we
wanna
said
leave.
That want to leave. So then we said, what would you move for? Well, they wanted to live bigger where they were. They wanted affordability, right? They felt like they were being priced out of the places that they were. They wanted economic vitality, which really meant that if I move for a job and it doesn't work out, is there another job in the marketplace that my skills can transfer, right? Because I don't want to do this again. It's disruptive. The third thing was outdoor rec. They wanted trails and parks, and they want to be connected the whole time because they want to share that experience with
right.
us, including what they ate for lunch, which I never understood that. And then they wanted arts and culture. And so we said, great, we check all the boxes.
We do check all the boxes.
And then we asked, what do you think of Iowa? Their response was, do you grow potatoes, like you
right.
said? Where is Iowa?
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we started this campaign. If you go to the website, thisisiowa.com, it is footage of Iowa that if you listen to the narrative, it's where rolling hills meet low bills. It's everything the research said is captured in this, and it is breathtaking. And we have done 3 national runs, and we've wrapped it around influencers and social media, and it's moving the needle because it's also, and you know, I run the tourism division as well, and we also know that it oftentimes begins with a visit or tourism that people start the next thing, I could see myself living here. And so we are, you know, this has been remarkable. Now we're capturing stories of people who have actually moved. The other thing that we're doing is we're working with DOT because the state agencies here actually really partner really well together. Working with the DOT because you have to surrender your license when you move to Iowa in a short period of time. Why is that important? Well, because they capture the data of where you're moving from. So we know, Michael, where county in California we need to advertise in.
Sure.
We know what county in New Jersey. We know every county where it's coming. I mean, we certainly are seeing people move in here from Illinois, people that are making terrible policies. Policies matter. And so we just launched our next round, and now we're even going further doing a talent attraction. We're going to be working with major companies and really now trying to close the deal, because we believe that we have elevated our profile. You know, we at least introduced the world to Iowa or the nation. And so, yeah, that's part of it, too. So it is marketing Iowa as a welcoming state.
It really is. You know,
yeah.
Just a real quick side note, our house of worship, we were having a declining number.
Yeah.
And so what we thought, well, why don't we reach out to individuals who are living in the cities,
mm-hmm.
And encourage them to come to our congregation. The most amazing thing is once individuals understand that we're 15, 20 minutes away from anywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. your job, your recreation, your mm-hmm. arts, your culture, the restaurants, all of those things are just right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have a commute that's
nope.
an hour one way.
No.
And people go, seriously?
Yeah.
They can't believe it.
I know.
Yeah.
It is. And so we're selling all of that for the first time. We've never had the funding to do this. And, you know, marketing's important. So
it
those
is.
Are some of the things we're doing around workforce.
Debbie Durham, final question for you. And thank you so much for
sure.
spending so much time with us. As you look to not just Israel, but to other countries, are there some real important verticals
mm-hmm.
that fit Iowa really well? I know you talked about them
yeah.
with regard to Israel, but what verticals can we say we own this space?
Insurance is one. Taking over the number one position in the country, right? Used to be Connecticut, places like Connecticut. We've now taken over the position. We've done it because we know how to build ecosystems. We invest in our companies from a regulatory point of view and a friendly taxation and a training program. The digital and precision agriculture is a state. We absolutely should own that. We should never cede that. I talked about medical innovation and devices that many years ago we pretty well handed that over to Minnesota. Well, we need to take that back because advanced manufacturing is the largest part of our gross state product. So there are some tremendous opportunities. And right now, because of the bio front and these bio-based products that, you know, with the, you know, the leaders we had, you know, visionaries that set ethanol and biodiesel, and now that we can harvest hemp chemicals
mm-hmm.
and everything, you think about all the things in manufacturing and plastics and fibers that we've been done with petroleum based, we can do that on a green basis, whether it's through fuel streams, whether it's through plant based and new plant molecules. That is the market that is opened up to us. And right now there's a ton of money, outside money chasing it. So it's viable because companies are demanding it to meet carbon goals and consumers are demanding it. And so Iowa is in such a great position. And I think it's because of past leadership. And I think it's about the leadership we have today.
Debbie Durham, thank you so much for spending so much time with us. I appreciate
that. Oh, it was great fun. Thank you.
The voice of Debbie Durham, the director for the Iowa Economic Development Authority, sat down with us talking about not only Israel, but also the unique place that Iowa has when it comes to business. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Debbie Durham, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.